This is Faith and Life Today, a community and interest feature on Life 102.5.
Imagine being a kid and never getting a Christmas present. Never experiencing the thrill of seeing a beautifully wrapped package just for you. Never getting to shake it and guess what's inside. Never tearing open that paper, super excited to see what's inside, then having a blast playing with it, making memories that stick with you well beyond childhood. Well, sadly, that's the reality for millions of kids around the world. Thankfully, you can help make a child's Christmas extra special this year. And it's not just about a present, but a tangible expression of God's love. Since 1993, Samaritan's Purse has handed out shoebox gifts filled with toys, school supplies, and hygiene items for more than 220 million children worldwide. And this week on Faith and Life Today, you're going to meet one of those kids. And what an amazing story you're going to hear and learn about how you can help out this year. I'm Bill Martins. Alex Senjamana is a national spokesperson for Operation Christmas Child and a shoebox recipient. He grew up during the Civil War in Rwanda in the 90s. Alex, so good to have you here today. Welcome.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me on air.
We also have Richard Peach. He's a church relations volunteer with OCC's Madison area team. He joins us today from his home in Broadhead. Hello, Rich.
Hello, and welcome to be part of the show today. Thank you.
Yeah, well, take a load off, Rich. I'm going to start with Alex here for a few minutes and bring you on a little bit later. Alex, Rwanda, pretty small country in Central Africa, just south of the equator. The war was from 1990 to 94, included a genocide that claimed the lives of up to about a million people. And I understand your grandmother and uncle were among those. And man, it's really hard to grasp all of that. Describe what your childhood was like in that kind of environment.
Yeah. Thank you again, Bill, for having me. When I was 6 years old, a little boy, I was being raised by my grandmother in a small little village in Rwanda. And it was such a, I had a great childhood, me and my grandmother and my brother and my sister and my uncles. Me and my brother, we were being raised by our grandmother because our mother passed away with HIV/AIDS. And but I grew up at a time when the hatred was being at such a high volume in Rwanda. The genocide and all the hatred, all the strifes people have heard goes to way back to 1800s during the colonial time when people are divided in tribes. And one tribe was told to hate the other tribe. And that form of hatred was creating people's lives. And many people believed in that hatred to the point where they would not see their own neighbor as their friend. And a friend would kill a friend and a neighbor would kill a neighbor. It was so absurd that that all of a sudden people would turn backs on each other. From April, that genocide against the Tutsi tribe started in April of 1994 when it burst out. But the leading up to it, the preparation and the constant hate and tribalism and ideologies went on for many years. But 1994, when that genocide started for 3 months, over a million people were killed and over 40,000 orphans were left in the country. So unfortunately, including my grandmother and one of my uncles. So me and my brother and my sister, we found ourselves running from place to place, from family to family. And along the way, God was doing so many miracles to protect us. But during this time, as we ran, for example, men's weapons didn't work when we went to pull the trigger. And we're running and hiding in the bushes. No one would find us. Constant miracles that God was doing. But after those 3 months, my remaining aunt put me in an orphanage. And while we were in this orphanage, this is 1995, right after the genocide, a year after the genocide. But in 1994, in July, when the genocide ended, one of the first organizations that responded to support and to help and was Samaritan's Purse. So Samaritan's Purse is the organization that runs the project of Operation Christmas Child, and they refurbished the hospital. And then they brought Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes to our orphanage. And that's when, for the very first time in my life, Bill, I got to receive a gift. And that was an awesome moment that I'll never forget.
Hold that thought right there, Alex. I need to kind of wrap my head around everything you just said. I've got a really hard time relating to that, just because, I mean, here in the United States, we thankfully we're not at war. We don't have the kinds of things that you were facing in Rwanda. Holy cow! I mean, Did you ever feel like your faith was running out, or were you always confident that God was going to bring you through it? You said he kept showing up, but I mean, what did you feel? It sounds like there may have been a lot of fear there.
Yeah. When we were running, it was a lot of fear. And at that time, I actually grew up, my grandmother had a little faith, but I did not know what kind of faith it was. And as she went to church one Sunday, she went to Seventh-day Adventist Church and a Catholic church on one Sunday. So she was a woman of prayer and a woman who was always looking up to God. But when she got killed in front of me and my uncle in front of me, that faith was gone. That faith was shattered.
Goodness.
Yeah, and I ran from place to place. And then when my faith was rekindled, when I got to receive that shoebox gift from Operation Christmas Child, because in those moments, the orphanage director used that opportunity to share with us about Jesus Christ. At this time in my life, I considered everything coincidence, but we know there's no coincidence with the Lord. And God sent me people to continue to help to rekindle my faith. But at that time, it was a lot of fear, running in the bushes, in the abandoned buildings. But that's when I look back and see, my goodness, what a powerful God we serve, a God who would protect me through that 3 months of horrific events.
Amen, brother. Okay, so you mentioned the shoebox from Operation Christmas Child. What was going through your mind when that box was placed in your hands? That had to have been a fun time.
It was incredible when we got to open our Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift. All of us, 250 of us in the orphanage. And in this orphanage, we were living in a place that was beautiful, only 60 people. All of us had lost our loved ones and nightmares after nightmares. So we got to line up and they handed a gift. And then, Bill, they said, don't open your gifts until all of them have been handed out. So some of us had to hold our present for 5 minutes. That's a long time for a seven-year-old. But we got to open shoeboxes together, and all of us were screaming of excitement. I saw school supplies. I saw hygiene items and toys. And I remember very specifically in my shoebox gift seeing a hair comb. I kept a hair comb for the next 3 years, and that's how important those items were.
Yeah. Was this your first quote, big present?
It was the very first gift ever in my life. The Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift was the very first gift I ever received in my life. So it was incredible. I can still remember like it was yesterday. And just the texture, the way the items felt, the way the shoebox smelled, it was so wonderful that I still have those memories to this day. I'm 36 years old and I still light up like a little boy when I think of receiving my Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift when I was 7 years old.
Have you held on to any of those things?
I held up to a comb for the next 3 years. Unfortunately, I lost the hair comb after 3 years, but I was so sad. And that's the item that I had the longest. The physical, tangible item was the hair comb. But the eternal impact, the eternal seed of the gospel was planted in my life. And that's what changed the trajectory of my life, because God sent me people to order that seed of the gospel in my life.
I was just going to ask you what that shoebox gift taught you about God.
Yeah. When I got to receive that shoebox gift, the orphanage director shared with us about Christ, but a seed was planted. And it was a year later that I put the two and two together. When a year later, I joined a choir and I was in Uganda. And while I was in Uganda with a choir, this is when I was being discipled and I was said to read the Bible. And I would read the Bible, and it would say that we're all creating the image of God, and that God sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. And then I read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where it says, "Therefore I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare and not of evil, plans to give you a future and a hope." In those moments, as I was reading the Bible, I was angry because I was asking, "How can a God watch all this happen in Rwanda? Why would he take away my grandmother? Why would he take away my uncle?" But it was in those moments of struggling and asking tough questions that actually God sent me mentors to disciple me. And they were watering the seed that had been planted by that shoebox gift. So around this time, that's when I gave my heart to Jesus. And then years later, I got adopted into a family in the United States. And I was, in my whole life, I wanted to be able to be free I had given my life to the Lord, but I was still living in bitterness of anger, just a lot of deep hurts and wanting to respond to everything that those men did to my family, to do exactly the same thing that they did.
Yeah.
But reading the gospel and reading God's word and having mentors who discipled me helped my faith continue to grow, to even praying that God would grant me that opportunity to see the people who caused me pain one day. And I'm grateful for what God, and that's the deep impact of that seed that was planted when I was 7 years old from Operation Christmas Child.
Well, you mentioned you're in the United States now. Today, you're involved with helping to get these shoebox gifts to kids around the world. How does it feel, Alex, to be on the other side of this program?
Yeah, it is such a joy. It's an honor. It's a privilege to be on this side of the journey. Whenever I share the story, the testimony, my desire and my prayer is that someone can hear it and also pack a shoebox gift and give another child an opportunity to hear the gospel. Today, Operation Christmas Child partners with churches worldwide, and pastors who receive the shoeboxes, they get to share the gospel. They get to use the shoebox gift as a gospel opportunity. And so when I share that testimony, it's just such a humbling experience to be on this journey, on this side of the shoebox gift, telling people that, hey, your shoebox gift that you pack, it's not just a shoebox gift of toys and hygiene items. The items are fun and they're a tangible way of communicating to a child that they're loved, they're excited. But when they get to hear the gospel, when they receive that shoebox gift and they respond and they even get an opportunity to go through a 12-week discipleship lesson, it's so incredible because kids come into a relationship with the Heavenly Father and they start their journey just like the journey that I've been on, the journey of faith.
That's Alex Senjamana from Operation Christmas Child talking about his experience growing up in war-torn Rwanda and getting a shoebox gift. Alex, sit tight. Going to come back to you in a little bit. This is Faith in Life Today on Life 102.5. Bill Martin's here. Time to bring on Richard Peach. Rich serves on OCC's Madison area team as a church relations volunteer. Rich, thanks for hanging in there. What do you think of what Alex had to say?
Well, that is just one of the amazing stories. As Alex told that story, you know, emotion comes across you and you realize the impact, the eternal impact we are having with just one shoebox. So I thank Alex for his story. And we just don't know of the millions of other children that have similar stories to share. It's just amazing what is being done with just one shoebox.
I was reading on OCC's website that this whole thing started in 1993 in Eastern Europe. Briefly, how did that all come about?
Well, in the early 1990s, there was a war in Bosnia. And Samaritan's Purse was approached and asked if they could fill about 28,000 shoeboxes. And they were able to do that, and they provided them to children in Bosnia. And from there, in 1993, it became Operation Christmas Child. And as mentioned earlier, there's been over 220 million shoeboxes since 1993 being shipped to over 170 countries. And last year in 2023, we celebrated our 30th year of the shoebox ministry.
Oh, that's great stuff. Now, if I understand this right, part of your job is to work with local churches that are collecting shoeboxes, correct?
That's part of the job, correct. I work with the churches, see their needs, facilitate getting them materials. If they would require someone to come in and share with their ministry team or their pastor or other people more about Operation Christmas Child, I would be a resource that they could use. But also to get other churches who are not yet familiar with Operation Christmas Child, get them information so they have an understanding of the ministry and the excitement that they can be a part of.
And you do this year round. I mean, this isn't just a November thing. So what goes on the rest of the year?
Well, after the shoebox collection, we follow up and thank the churches for their participation and give them an update on the success we had this year, and then start talking to them in the spring, late winter, about their plans for next year. And it's interesting when you say about being November thing, it's basically a year round for packing shoeboxes. Some of the churches have a month where they will have a theme and they will collect toothbrushes or, you know, personal hygiene items. And then the next month, maybe some small clothing items. So each month they have a focus and these items are being collected over the months, the course of the year, getting ready for potentially a packing party or an event where they will put those all into shoe boxes and then be taken to one of our collection sites later in the year in November.
Well, a shoebox isn't super big. How much stuff can you cram in there, and any tips on how to pack everything?
Well, first, each shoebox starts with a wow item. So you need to decide if you're going to be packing this for a boy or a girl, and there's several age groups that you can select. But something like a soccer ball with a pump, or a small doll or stuffed animal would be a great gift that the child will see when they first open the box up. Other items put in there would be toothbrushes, school supplies such as pencils, paper, crayons, markers. There will be nothing put in that box that will not go to good use. I can assure you, we have amazing stories about different uses for items that have been in those boxes, which are not traditional by our standards. So pack them with whatever leads your heart to put into that box.
And that would include perhaps a personalized note and a photo as well, right?
That is the one of the most important parts, aside from prayer over that box. It's great to put that note and a picture in, because, again, that box being that tangible expression of God's love, that ties it back to a person or a family who packed that box, and it just cements that relationship even more.
And all that information about how to pack the box, get a shipping label, and what to do with it is on Samaritan Purse's website, and we've got a link at life1025.com. Rich, once the shoebox is delivered, is that pretty much it, or do you try to foster some kind of ongoing relationship with the recipient?
Well, once the shoebox is delivered to the country and then to the village or city where the recipient resides, the local church really takes a lead. And they present the greatest gift, which is a booklet that shares, it takes Apostle Paul steps through Bible stories and introduces the children to Jesus Christ. And they then give them that shoebox afterwards. And then, as was mentioned earlier by Alex, they are invited to a 12-session Bible study. So the continued involvement is more local, because they are familiar with the culture, they know the language, and they are best prepared through Samaritan's Purse with resources to support those children through their journey in their relationship with Jesus Christ.
Hey, if you stuff a box, can you track that gift and find out where it went and who got it?
Great question. There is a barcode on the label, and you can scan that and go online, and We do ask for a donation of $10 for each box to cover shipping and the materials on the other end, and you can track that location of your box once it's delivered. And it may be January, and it might not get delivered till February, March, or April. Depends on where it's going and how remote the village is, because once they leave the United States, they either go on a cargo plane or a cargo ship, but once they get to their country of destination, it may be a little slower moving, maybe by truck, boat, or maybe even a pack mule.
Well, what kind of volunteers are available with Operation Christmas Child if somebody wants to get involved?
Well, there's many opportunities for involvement, and one would be a project leader within your church or your local organization, where you could mobilize the people in your church to pack shoeboxes and really spread the information on how to do that. Or you can go to one of our 8 processing centers and volunteer to process the shoeboxes, where they're inspected and cartonized before they are shipped to the country of destination. And our closest processing center would be in Aurora, Illinois. Other opportunities that are more year-round, like the church relations, and there's community relations, and of course the prayer team. I mean, that is a year-round opportunity to support the boxes, the children, but also Operation Christmas Child through prayer.
Rich, what made you want to serve with OCC?
Well, my wife started packing shoeboxes in the 90s and kept each year a little more opportunity to get a few more shoeboxes packed. But I wanted to do something more than pack shoeboxes and look to say, what could I do locally to help other people know more about this great ministry? And I got on the church relations team and seemed to be a pretty good fit. I enjoyed talking to people about Operation Christmas Child and solving little problems that may get in the way of delivery or needing labels or just small things. And so it allows me to help facilitate the process also
Yeah, well, I can tell you enjoy your work. That's great to hear. As we finish up here, Alex, bringing you back, I see that in 2013, you went back to Rwanda to distribute shoeboxes. You also stopped by the prison to visit the guy responsible for taking your uncle's life. Why did you do that?
Yeah, it was such an incredible trip in 2013 when I got to go back to Rwanda, this time with Operation Christmas Child, to deliver Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes to the orphanage. That was a powerful moment. Now, God had taken, I had prayed for many years for God to heal me. When I was discipled, I always prayed, Lord, help me to heal so that one day I can be able to see the people who cause me pain. And I wanted to go to the prison and be part of what the government of Rwanda was doing, bringing reconciliation among the people of Rwanda. There were so many people who did all these atrocities, and they were sitting in the prison. So the government said, you know what, let's do these meetings in the villages so that people can have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness and to for the victims to ask where their relatives were put. And because of this, Bill, this process healed the country of Rwanda, continued to heal the country of Rwanda. And today, Rwanda is considered one of the safest countries in the world. And it's so incredible. So I wanted to be part of that. But two times I tried, it didn't happen. Mm. In 2013, this is when I realized, I had another opportunity. So I went to the prison and found out that the guy who killed my grandmother fled, but the guy who killed my uncle was still there. And that was the toughest day of my life. But we got to meet with him, and we got to share with him that God loved him as well. And I got to have a closure of hearing the other side of the story, hearing where he was. As I heard his side of the story, it was more of a healing process. But, you know, I look back and realize my journey of faith and how the trajectory of my life started when that seed of the gospel was planted in my life as a little boy when I received that Operation Christmas Child Shoebox gift. And many people along the way came to disciple me and help me accept and see and accept the gospel, the true meaning of the gospel, what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, coming to forgive us. And in my own struggling, in my own bitterness, I did not want to accept that that man was loved by God as well, that God created him in his own image. And that was my struggle of accepting the gospel for many years, even though I kept accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I'm grateful I had the opportunity. God answered that prayer in his own timing. And I share that to give God the glory for what he's done. There's no way in my human nature I would ever want to be in front of that man, but it's what Jesus Christ did in my life. And this is happening to kids all over the world, kids receiving Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes and getting an opportunity to hear the gospel through their local church. And so it's incredible. And we're sharing how someone can do that for another child by packing a shoebox gift.
Well, you know, we're running a little short on time here. Alex, I was going to ask you why someone should fill up a shoebox gift, but I think you really nailed it with that last answer. So I'm going to go to you, Rich, and say, why should someone consider volunteering with OCC?
Well, when you look at this ministry, and if you've ever wanted to be a part of something bigger and you were not able to because of where you lived or your time constraints, you can be part of Operation Christmas Child one shoebox at a time. It doesn't matter if you're 4 years old or 94 years old. You can have an eternal impact on a child's life just by packing a shoebox.
Well, Rich, great talking with you. Thank you so much for your time and for the good work you're doing for these kids around the world.
Thank you, Bill.
And Alex, what a privilege to have you here. So I'm so sorry for what happened to you and your family, but I'm glad God's using you for great things through Operation Christmas Child.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for sharing the stories. And we're grateful for the partnership. And we look forward to many more kids being impacted this year, 12 million, hopefully 12 million children. We get an opportunity to hear the gospel.
Absolutely. Well, Merry Christmas to both of you. That's Richard Peach. He's a church relations volunteer with OCC's Madison area team. And Alex Senjamana, national spokesperson with Operation Christmas Child and a shoebox gift recipient. Again, you can find out how to get involved, how to pack those boxes, and what to do with them at life1025.com. Tons of other information there. I mean, their frequently asked questions page is deep. No way we're going to cover it all in this conversation, so I highly encourage you to check that out, and thank you very much for doing so. And that's a wrap on this edition of Faith and Life Today. I'm Bill Martins. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us for Faith and Life Today. To find this and any of our other interviews, head over to life1025.com.